Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to be beginning a new series on the book of 1 John. And I'm calling it Finding True Love. Finding True Love. And the reason I'm calling it that is because within 1 John, he makes a contrast between what the world believes and what Christians believe. And today in this world, we're taught a lot of things about love, and we're taught a lot of things about God, and a lot of these things about love, and a lot of these things about God are simply false. They're lies. And we believe these lies to our detriment. I spoke to my friend Dominic, who used to come down here with me. Some of you know Dominic, who used to preach with me. And he went off to a school to get his PhD, and I asked him, how are things going at your school? And he knew going into this school that he was going to have differences of opinion with some of the people that he was going to be at school with, and some of the teachers were going to teach him some things that he didn't agree with. But he wrote back to me just this week, and he said, the things that they're having me read tell me a different Jesus than the Jesus that you and I believe in. And furthermore, they teach me that the Bible isn't true and that it's just stories that are made up and have no reality. This isn't uncommon within the academia, within the professors in the schools who are teaching theology and learning about theology. And oftentimes these people who are learning theology in this way that teach false views of Jesus are teaching future pastors to teach these same things, and finally it ends up within our pews and within our talks and conversations, and we begin to talk about God in ways which simply aren't true, and our culture is continuing to tell these things as we watch movies and documentaries about Jesus. As people talk about God and how to encounter God, there's a lot of false things that are spoken of, and I want to take 1 John in light of this. That there is a true love. There is a true God. And we must submit to this true God. And tonight, as we look at the first four verses, I want to look at how true love, this true love, has been revealed. So let's read these first four verses, and I'm going to contrast what the world believes about God with what we are given to believe about God within the scriptures. From verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, this being Jesus. And the life was manifested, was revealed. And we have seen and we testify and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested or revealed to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Like I said, I want to contrast what the world believes with what we're taught here within these scriptures through these words that I've just read. World lie. This is from Jacob, so take me with a grain of salt. Jacob the liar. Telling the truth tonight, just for a change. But the world's lie, number one here, is that God is whoever we want him to be or whoever we think that he is. See, Americans have this crazy idea that if we just believe something, it makes it true, right? But reality has a funny way of dealing with us. We're taught about these things within school. We go to school and little children are asked, you know, what's the meaning of life? And little Johnny says some crazy thing about how the meaning of life is to become a worm in the second life, and the teacher says, good job, Johnny, you're creative and you're thinking well. But is that true? Little Johnny's been told all his life that whatever he thinks is right. And we grow up with these views that everything that I believe is true. But we have a thing called reality. You see, we have laws of nature like gravity. If I drop this pen, it's going to accelerate to the ground at 9.8 meters per second squared. It's a law of nature. And we can get in classes and in schoolrooms and we can talk about whether we think that the acceleration of gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared or 10.8 meters per second squared. We can disagree, but there's a reality that gravity falls at 9.8 meters per second squared. There's a law. What I believe about the law of gravity does not change gravity. And so we have a truth in this scripture, in the truth that is counter to what the world believes, that God is whoever you want him to be, is that God is who he is and who he says he is, regardless of whether we think it or believe it. And this God is speaking to us, and he's saying who he is. Look in verse 1. It says, what was from the beginning? Jesus, it's speaking of, is this part of the Godhead who has always existed. He was the creator of the universe. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. See, Jesus is not a man like you and me. Jesus is God come down. Jesus is the creator of this universe, the one who has eternally existed. He is the Son of God, eternally God. And then in verse 2, it says, this one was with the Father. He was with the Father, and the word with here in the original language, in the original Greek, is a different word than with. It's more like to or into. The word was into God. He was the same with the Father. He was one with the Father for eternity before. An eternity in the future. He is one with the Father. It says the same thing in John chapter 1. It says, and the word was with, that same word, the into God. See, God has said something about himself. The reality is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And who is this God? It says that this word is the word of life. It says that he's the life. It says that he is the eternal life. You see, in the beginning, he created. He was the one who gave life. He's the one who has life. He is the one who has eternally lived and will eternally live forever. This is God. Jesus is no less than God. So this world might think that you can believe whatever you want to about God and it makes it so, but the reality is that God exists and he's explained himself here in the scriptures. And then world lie number 2. The world tells us that we can't really know who God is. And that comes out of the fact that everybody has a different opinion about who God is. So we just really can't know. And as a result of the fact that we can't know, according to the world, we shouldn't be telling others about who God is. Christians shouldn't be going around telling them that they need to know God and that we know God. It's arrogant. There was a song from 1973. Some of you might know it. Carly Simon wrote a song, You're So Vain. I bet you think this song is about you. And as soon as she wrote this song and it went on the airwaves, people were speculating, who was she talking about? Yeah, was it Warren Beatty? Was it Cat Stevens? Was it Chris Christopherson? Is that his name? There's one more guy, Mick Jagger. Was it Mick Jagger? So as soon as the song comes out, people are speculating with all the men that she's, you know, slept with and gone out with and whatnot. She was kind of a tabloid girl back then. I wasn't alive then. But this is what she said. She said she was in the tabloids a lot, and there was a lot of speculation. So on the airwaves in a radio station, they began to try to figure it out, and they had a talk show guy try to figure out who she was speaking of. So all these people were calling, and they were speculating about who it was. And the consensus was that it was this Chris Christopherson guy. I don't know who he is. But he's not the guy, we find out later. We still don't know. We still don't know who this person is that she speaks of. We can only speculate about who this person is that she has spoken of. How would we ever find out? We can ask her, and people keep asking her, and every time she has an interview, she is asked that question. But until she tells, until she reveals who this person is that she wrote about, we can never know. We can only speculate. We can only think, oh man, I think it's Warren Beatty. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's Warren Beatty. We can't know until she's revealed what the truth is. But the truth about God is that He has revealed Himself to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We can know. We can know who God is. And as the world tells us that we can't know who God is, the scriptures tell us that God has revealed Himself. It says over and over in these verses, it says, the life was manifested or revealed to us. John 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. God became a man to show us who He was and is. And John, one of Jesus' disciples, he says, this thing that was from the beginning, this God who was from the beginning, we have heard Him. We heard His testimony. We heard Him testify and teach. It says we have seen Him. We've seen His miracles. We've wondered at Him as He died on the cross. And we've touched Him when He was raised again from the grave. We put our hands in his sides, as we talked about last week, and in his wrists. This isn't a God who is far off that we just need to speculate about. This is a God who has come and revealed Himself. And men and women have come and they've touched Him and they've seen Him. And because He has revealed Himself to us, we can testify and we can say that we know who God is with confidence, even though this world says that we can't say anything about God. The funny thing about John is he's this man who's actually been in the presence of the physical body of Jesus. None of us that I know of have been in the presence of the physical body of Jesus. So how can I testify? How can I know? Turn with me, if you're following along, to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. It says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony, has the eyewitness testimony in himself. That means that as we enter into belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, He sends His Spirit and testifies within us. He gives us proof within our hearts that He is the one and true and only God. And we can safely declare what this world rejects, that Jesus Christ is God came down to reveal himself. God is revealing himself. We aren't inventing who God is. We didn't go to a mountaintop and decide, oh, I think God is this, and I think God is that, and I believe God is this. God has shown himself who he is, and we must believe, just like we must believe in gravity, that the law of gravity is what it is. G.K. Chesterton said famously, I did not make Christianity. It is making me. When we believe in Christianity, in the truth of the Christ, he changes us and makes us. This is rooted in history, not in my fancy, not in my speculation. And as a result, because of that truth, we can proclaim and testify to the fact of his existence. I told you about Carly Simon, right? This song, We're Speculating. Well, I think in 2003, it was a few years ago, I don't remember exactly what year, but she put up for auction that she would tell the secret of who this person is. So the bidding went on, and somebody paid $50,000 to find the secret. And the money went to charity. It wasn't, you know, just to get the secret, but it was a cool thing to get charity. So Dick Ebersol, this NBC executive who has lots of money, paid $50,000 to get the secret. And she went to tell him, and he had to write a confidentiality agreement that he wouldn't discuss who it was with anybody. And she whispered it in his ear. Afterwards, he said that he could tell the world that the letter had an E in it, which rules out a couple people, but leaves most of the people in that we've talked about. But if Carly Simon doesn't tell the world who she was talking about, I know one person who knows. And if Dick Ebersol declares who that person is after Carly Simon dies, I can testify to the truth that that is who Carly Simon said. You see, what I'm saying is that we can testify just like Dick Ebersol, who was told about who this person was. I can listen to him in confidence that he knows. We too have been told the truth about Jesus and who God is, and we can declare it to this world. And then the world lie number three. No matter what you believe about God, you can have an intimate, reconciled relationship with him. Or even the atheist might say, no matter what you believe about God, you can't have a relationship with him because he doesn't exist. But the truth is that our relationship with God is ruptured, is broken. Just like our families sometimes are broken because of sin. See, we can't enter into a relationship with God because of our sin. We need a way to get back into his presence. I've seen some antiques shows occasionally on TV. And people bring these antiques in and try to get them evaluated. And the professionals look at them and sometimes they say to them, did you try to fix this part over here? Because if you did, if you tried to paint what was broken or you tried to mend what was broken with the wrong glue, you just made it less valuable than it was when it was broken. You tried to fix it on your own. And these professionals said, you just need to bring it into me, and I'm going to fix it the way it's supposed to be fixed. I'm the professional. I know exactly how to fix it. And if I fix it in the right way, it's going to be more valuable than if you hadn't broken it in the first place. And infinitely more valuable if you hadn't tinkered with it on your own. But that's what we do. We try to tinker with our brokenness, with our broken relationship with God in our own way. We try to fix ourselves by believing in the wrong things. We try to fix our relationship with God by trying to be righteous, to do good things. But that's not how it works. We can never be good enough to enter into the presence of God. We've got this thing called sin that's stained us. We're not worthy to enter into the presence of God. But there's a way. There's a way for us to enter into the presence of God. And it's the professional mender and restorer who can do it. Jesus became flesh. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he went to the cross to pay for our sins, that all who would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. See, there's a way into the presence of God. This world has told you that you can get into the presence of God any way you are. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are or what you're doing. You can enter into the presence of God. That's not how it works. God has said, sin must be dealt with. Verse 3 and 4 here. Let me read it again. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, the goal of a relationship with God, actually the goal of believing in God, in Jesus Christ, is not just to save us from our sins, to deliver us from our sins. It's to have fellowship with God, to restore that broken relationship with God, and to restore that broken relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters. And then it says, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is a belief that leads us not into stodginess and to boredom and to taking away all the good things that we think we have. Belief in Jesus brings us fellowship with him that we might have joy. True living joy. This world offers us this almost a drug, like cocaine or heroin, of love and joy. But these love and joys that the world is offering us don't last. They give us these highs, but leave us on the side of the street by the dumpster. But God has a way that he wants us to enter into joy, into life, true life, eternal life. And that's to know Jesus Christ. John says in chapter 5, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. The world will tell you very differently that you can have life without the Son. But there is only one way to have this life. Only one way to have this joy. Only one way to have this peace. Is that God? He's telling me to end. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you have revealed yourself, that we don't have to speculate about who you are, but you have told us who you are, and that you do love us, that you do care for us, and that there is a way for us to enter back into relationship with you. Speak to our hearts and help us to live within this belief, in this truth. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.